I'm in the uncomfortable position of feeling like the Lord doesn't want me to preach from that passage this morning. Anybody here who wants to just proclaim God's goodness and testify to what God's done in their life, I'll start. But if anyone else wants, if you want to take your seats for a moment, that's absolutely fine. I've got a friend who has been coming to Hope Church on Sundays. He's been spending time with you guys and worshipping with us. He's not a Christian. And this is what he said about you. He said that when he watches you, he feels emotional. He sees the way you love one another, and it does something in his heart. It stirs him. He says there's a great energy in the room. That's the language that he puts to it. He means the presence of God. And he came round to our house for lunch recently, and he said that he had a good life. You know, he's happy with his life, but he's scared that God's going to get hold of his life and he's going to become a Christian. Because he sees the reality of God in your lives. So praise God for that. Is there anyone else who's got a testimony this morning of God's goodness?
Good morning, church. I didn't want to come, as usual. But then I think when God wants you to do something, you're just not comfortable not being obedient. I just want to say, I think I've been here a few times testifying of the goodness of the Lord. And this year, especially, has been a bit of a challenge for me health-wise. I've just had dips where I feel unwell, and I go for tests and everything. They cannot find anything wrong with me. And then the people that have been praying, and then out of the blue, I'm just well. And then it starts again, and I keep questioning God. God, what's going on? What's happening? What's going on with my health? Because I'm usually generally okay, but I think this year has just been a challenge. I came today and I said, God, I need a word from you. I just need you to speak to me. And when Faye was talking about sometimes when we're going through those difficult times, at times God wants us to get closer to him. And that's when we search deeper into God and we get a deeper revelation of who God is. And this morning, I just want to testify of the goodness of the Lord. Yes, he is the Lord, our healer. I think I've got that testimony over and over and over again. And if there's anyone in this place who came and they are not feeling well, God will heal you because he's in the business of healing us. He wants us well. He wants us to prosper in every way. And healing is yours. And whatever other situations you might be going through, I've been going through those blips. And they've really brought me down sometimes. But when I came to church today, I just felt that revival and that God, I want to seek you. God, I want to go deeper with you. God, I want to know you. And even the song they were singing just now, when I lift my hands or when whatever I do, let it be a miracle. And I just want to say, let us be in that position where we're saying, God, wherever we are, in our workplaces, in our homes, in the shops, anywhere we are, God, use us. And let us be a testimony of your goodness. He is a good God. Thank you.
Okay, Teresa's going to stand at the back. If what she said has stirred your heart, if you want prayer for something that pertains to what she has spoken about this morning, she's going to be at the back, and maybe someone else from the prayer ministry team could join her as well. So just leave your chairs and go over to where she is. Is there anyone here this morning who would like prayer for sickness, for illness, or for a member of their family who's currently sick? Yeah, would you mind just standing to your feet, and we want to pray for you. So people who are just immediately around those people, if you could just begin to minister to them. And what I loved about Teresa's testimony was, it was a confident statement that God redeems suffering. That we, even though we go through the valley of the shadow of death, we need fear no evil, for he is with us, and his rod and his staff, it comforts us. And at the end of that psalm, it says that surely his goodness and mercy will follow us all the days of our lives. And so even though we go through these things, the Lord is with us, and he will redeem those things and extract every last bit of good out of those things. But also a confident restatement that today the Lord hasn't changed his mind, that he is still Jehovah Rapha. He's still the God who heals. And we've seen God do some incredible things. In my own life, I was in hospital a few years ago, lying in a bed on the cardiac unit with a heart rhythm that was speeding one moment, dropping to nearly nothing another moment, pausing for up to 4 seconds with no beats at all. And the doctors were confused. They gave me some medication. They said I'd need an operation. I came out of church. The saints prayed. There was a word of knowledge given to me. The saints prayed and the symptoms went. I went back to the doctors. They did all of their tests. And then the person who I spoke to last said, well, this is encouraging. And if your symptoms if your results continue the way they are, there'll be no more treatment needed, which is the closest I think a doctor can come to saying you're healed. But I was healed from a condition that needed either a pacemaker or an ablation, which is an operation where they go inside and burn the inside walls of the heart. So praise God. I have seen God's healing hand on my life, and many of you also have. And so today we believe in a God who still heals. And so we're going to pray. So a few people gather around those people who have stood up to pray. Ask their permission if you want to lay hands on before you do. And just pray that God would begin to heal. Is there anyone here with a testimony? Anyone else with a testimony? Come. Come on, quickly. Richard, come on.
So it's not really so much about myself. It's as somebody might have seen on Facebook, me, Ryan, and a new guy, Stephen, went to a conference called Fixed yesterday. And this is like my favorite conference of the year. It's like, so it's for ex-addicts, recovering addicts, and people with a heart to reach addicts. And so altogether there was about, like, the conference normally maxes out at 500 people, but they ended up having an overflow room. So it went up to like 700 people were there. And then so there was lots of different seminars, and then it was a long day, and some people were quite tired, and we were thinking, do we come home after the meal or do we stay for the evening service? So we weighed it up, and then in the end we said, we'll just stay. And then we stayed, this guy, Paul Lloyd, he was a former East End London gangster, and he now heads up outreaches and rehabs, and they're planting churches out of rehabs all over the UK. And then so what happened was, he was just preaching, and in the end he called people forward who want to be part of a movement of the ex-addicts to reach these people all over the UK and around the world. And then what happened was that we were all called forward, and then he just said, I'm thinking outside the box here. He says, what would happen if us 700 people in this room just all got together and just went to an estate in a city or a town somewhere, and just with all our testimonies and preaching the gospel, what could God do in the midst of that? And then so he just sort of left it there. So who knows what's going to happen out of what's going to burst. So they're looking at taking Fixed on tour on the streets, is what was said at the end of the conference. So it was just really impacted. And for me, I've went there for many years. And so it was a blessing taking Ryan and Steve. And I said to them, now it's your job to invite people next year. So we just believe that, I'm believing that there's going to be a minibus full next year from Corby that's going to go and get impacted. And there was 99 people that gave their life to Christ at this conference yesterday. And the icing on the cake for that is, some of them would have come out of day release from prison. They got saved, then they went back into prison last night or this morning, and then they would have been preaching the gospel around the prison cells. So that's what this ministry is all about. So and it's just great to be connected to them. And so we're just really believing that this is going to be for Corby, and I'm hoping in the future to maybe invite some of them to come and hit our estates in Corby with us. So watch this space.
Okay, there are some people in the room today, and you know people who are trapped in a prison of addiction. It might be alcoholism, it might be drugs, it could be any other thing. So for some it could be food, it could be pornography. If you want to pray for a family member who is unsaved or somebody in addiction, come to the front now and these guys are going to just stand with you in prayer. Also, if you haven't met the Lord yet, if you're not sure you're a Christian, let me just say to you, he died on the cross for you because he loves you so much. The reason he died on the cross is because you deserved to be punished for your sins, but he took your place. He was punished even though he was perfect for your sin so that you could go free and have a relationship with God and not have to one day stand before the judgment throne of the Lord and receive punishment. Instead, he has received punishment for your sins. Not only was he killed as he hung on the cross, but the good news of the Christian story is he came back to life, and 3 days after his crucifixion was his resurrection. He came back to life. And so we don't worship a dead historical figure. He's not the founder of Christianity. He's alive today, and we can know him and we can worship him, and he can be part of our lives. And so if you don't know Jesus yet, or you're not sure you're a Christian yet, I want you to be brave, and I want you to come down and I want you to speak to these guys, and they would love to pray and introduce you to the Lord, and you can become a Christian today. God bless you. Father, I thank you, Lord God, that your Spirit is at work, moving across this room, working in people's hearts, drawing people closer. Father, and just as in Revelation, we see you walking between the lampstands, your very presence amongst your people. So, Lord, you're walking up and down the rows of chairs in this place. And you're touching individual lives, Lord. You're meeting with people, Father, in their place of need. Thank you that your power is present today to heal. And your healing will go to our body, yes, but also to our spirit, our soul, our emotions, our will, our minds. Father, every part of us, Lord God, in your presence. And so, Father, I pray for the people who are here today, Lord God, haven't stood up yet, Lord, haven't responded in any way to any of the things that have been already said, but their hearts are breaking. I pray, Lord God, that you'll go right to their place of need. Father, you'll reach into their lives, Lord God, and you will touch them and bring peace and bring healing, bring life in Jesus' name. And for those who are struggling with mental health issues, Lord God, with anxiety and fear that dominates their lives, Lord God, I pray that you will go to where they are and touch them and bring peace. Bring peace. Your peace, Prince of Peace. Peace in Jesus' name. And that you would pour your love into their lives to a measure that can't be contained. Father, a love that is wider and longer and higher and deeper, that they would know that love that surpasses knowledge, that they would know that love in Jesus' name. Let me just introduce my brother. Our brother here is visiting. He's a bishop from the West Indies, is that right? Caribbean, sorry. And he's here in the UK. He's just going to bring a testimony.
Praise the Lord. Just to build upon what the pastor have been saying about being addicted and being imprisoned by any kind of addiction, I want to see you're looking at a product that was heavily addicted to crack cocaine. Years ago, I was not only addicted to crack cocaine, but I was one of the well-known traffickers in Brazil of crack cocaine. And due to my addiction, I ended up in prison in Brazil. I was tried and I was condemned for 4 years in prison. But while I was in prison, I had a sister who served the Lord Jesus Christ. Can I hear an amen? And she believed in prayer, just as you are here in this auditorium and you believe in prayer. Amen. She never gave up on me or brother in prison, drug addicted. She prayed night and day so that God can deliver me. God can set me free. Beloved brothers and sisters, as I stand before you, for me, there were no way out. The police in prison, the prison warder, looked to me one day and he called me a very strange name. He said, "Nigger, the only solution for you is a bullet in your head." I want to say I was making headlines in the Brazilian newspapers. I was involved in armed robberies. I was involved in all kinds of criminal activities. I was a slave of the devil. But I want to say to the church of Jesus Christ this morning that prayer has power. Hallelujah. Prayer changes things. Glory to God. And when I thought that there were no solution for me, when I thought there were no way out for me, hallelujah, away from my family, away from my loved ones, as we heard our pastor says, I was born in Guyana, South America. I was not from Brazil, but because of drug trafficking, I used to traffic marijuana into Brazil and bring out crack cocaine, arms and ammunition to the Caribbean. I was a thug. I was a criminal. Amen. I was addicted. Look at me good this morning, because I'm a product of the power of Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. Glory be to God. I want to tell you here this morning that we serve a God that is alive. We serve a God that is living. Hallelujah. There is a Jesus in this room this afternoon, and he has the power to deliver your loved ones, whether it be from cocaine, whether it be from heroin, whether it be from alcohol, whether it be from pornography, whatever it is, Jesus has the power. Hallelujah. Give him a hand of praise this afternoon. As the guards look at me, Pastor, he said, there is no hope for you. You're too far gone. Maybe there's somebody in your family right now that's breaking your heart. There are addiction that's holding them captive. Don't take no for an answer. Jesus is the way, says the word of God. Jesus is the truth. Jesus is the life. My sister in the USA, prayerful woman of God, a woman that believes in the power of God, just as you and I here this afternoon believe in the everlasting power of God. And that woman prayed night and day for me. Beloved brothers and sisters, my testimony is too long. I don't want to take your time. Amen. But what I want to say to you is that after prayer and constant prayer and constant prayer, like what we are seeing here, the power of God enter into one of the most notorious prisons in Brazil and visited me. Amen. And visited me, and I accept Jesus as Lord and Savior. Hallelujah to the Lamb of God. Jesus is alive. As we heard Pastor introduce me, today, I am not only saved, but I am a bishop, hallelujah, presiding over nearly 50 churches in Kenya. Glory to God. I just came back from Kenya last week, and I saw the delivering power and the glory of God move in the nation of Kenya. Don't give up on your son. Don't give up on your daughter. Don't give up on your relatives. What God has done for me, he can do for them also. Just believe in the power of prayer in Jesus' name. Thank you. Praise the Lord. Your pastor has given me the permission to pray. We're going to come against the demon of addiction. There are evil spirits behind every addiction, whether it be pornography, alcoholism, nicotine. Praise the Lord. There's somebody here today. Your son is hooked up on heroin, and you're even embarrassed. I'm not going to call you forward, but we're going to call down the power of God. That same power that visited me in Brazil. Hallelujah. That power is going to visit your home in the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. You spirit of addiction, you cannot resist. You cannot resist the name. You cannot resist the power. We command you right now to take your hands off of this young man. Take your hands off of this woman. Come out of this home. You cannot resist. The blood of Jesus is against you. The blood of Jesus is against you. The anointing power of the resurrected Christ is against you. We break your chains. We destroy your yokes. We disintegrate and eliminate your plans. In the name of Jesus, loose them, I command you. Loose them, I command you. Loose, I command you. You spirit of hell that have been holding this young man. And as we speak as a church, he cannot help himself. But today, we speak under the power of the resurrected Christ. And we command you right now to loose him. Loose him. You shall not interfere with his destiny. Loose him. This mother shall cry no more in the name of Jesus. This father shall cry no more in the name of Jesus. This family shall be embarrassed no more in the name of Jesus. Freedom and deliverance. Not only for those that are in the congregation, but we go up into the high places and we visit principalities and powers. We visit spiritual wickedness in high places that have established themselves over Kobia with addiction. And we dethrone you. We dethrone you. We dethrone you. We scatter you in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. As we decree and declare that the kingdom of God has risen and his enemies are scattered in Jesus' name.
Hi, I'm Deborah. It's my first time here. Came with the Kumu family. And as I walked in, I just felt in my spirit just to encourage you all. And I didn't want to come up, but just, you know, I just really feel the presence of God and the love of God. And I just wanted to encourage you just to keep doing what you're doing, keep reaching the nations, keep loving each other, keep praying. And God is here and he's doing amazing things. Amen.
Okay, a quick word from the scriptures. We're going to have opportunities to pray at the end as well. So if you would still like to pray and you haven't yet been brave enough to ask for prayer, then there's going to be opportunity. But if you have a Bible, will you open it to Ephesians chapter 3, verse 14. We had a half night of prayer on Friday. It was powerful. And we cried out to the Lord for our families, for this church, for our town, for the nation. And this verse really was the bookend at the beginning and at the end of the evening. So I'm going to read this prayer that Paul prays for the Ephesian church, which is from verse 14. It says this: "For this reason, I kneel before the Father, from whom every family in heaven and on earth derives its name. And I pray that out of his glorious riches, he may strengthen you with power through the Spirit in your inner being, so that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith. And I pray that you, being rooted and established in love, may have power together with all the Lord's holy people to grasp how wide and long and high and deep is the love of God, and to know this love that surpasses knowledge, that you may be filled to the measure of all the fullness of God. Now to him who is able to do immeasurably more than all we ask or imagine, according to his power that is at work within us, to him be glory in the church and in Christ Jesus through all generations, forever and ever. Amen." Alex, God bless you. Happy birthday. Father, we pray, Lord God, that this young man will grow up, Father, to be a mighty man of God. Just as we see the presence of the Lord in him now, Lord God, may you multiply his effectiveness, Lord God, in the things of God. And may your anointing be upon him, Lord God, in increasing measure in the days to come. Father, we thank you that he so faithfully serves in the worship team and all of the things he does behind the scenes, Lord God. We bless his life. And Lord God, we pray that you'll go before him and open up new doors of opportunity in Jesus' name. Amen. God bless you, brother. Ephesians 3, verse 14. For this reason, for what reason? Paul has just, through the first opening chapters of the book of Ephesians, reminded the Ephesians that they are blessed with every spiritual blessing, that they are chosen, that they are loved, that they are adopted to sonship, that they are redeemed, that they are forgiven, that they are now to live for the praise of his glory, that they have been sealed with the Holy Spirit, that they are God's possession, that they have a glorious inheritance, incomparably great power, that they're seated with Christ in heavenly places. And he says, for this reason, because of those truths, those realities of who God says you are, for this reason I now pray. I kneel before the Father. I don't kneel before a distant deity. I kneel before the Father, a Father who loves us unconditionally, and the Father from whom every father in heaven and on earth derives its name. All authority is his. All power is his. He sits at the top of the tree and he says, I kneel before him because of the things that I know to be true about you. I kneel before him and I pray these prayers for you. And he says this, I pray that out of his glorious riches. You know, I've sat in rooms with businessmen and people with money in the bank, and even recently I've sat with somebody and I thought to myself, if only some of the resources in your bank account could be leveraged for the kingdom of God. They weren't a Christian. But I thought, if only I could get hold of some of your resources, your riches, there's so much good that I could do with it. And this passage here is saying, listen, I come before my Father and I come asking that out of his glorious riches, he has limitless resources. He has all power. He has all authority. Do you feel confident when you come before your Father, church? Do you feel confident when you come before a Father who has every means at his disposal, the God who is able and the God who is willing? And the Apostle Paul says, I come and I pray that out of his glorious riches, out of his limitless supply, he may strengthen you with power in your inner being by his Holy Spirit. And there are so many times that I've, as a Christian, tried to do the things that I know that I should be doing in my own strength, with my own power. And let me say this, and it's just a testimony to God's goodness, that every time I try and do things my way, it fails. Everything of eternal worth and glory has to be done using his resources. And so the point of this passage is that the Apostle Paul, he's praying, he's recognizing that we're weak and that without God we can do nothing. And all of those things that God has purchased for us on the cross, those realities about who we are in Christ, they mean nothing if we don't walk in them. And so the way we walk in them, and this is the key to the Christian life, is the life of the Spirit. It's his power and it's his presence and it's his love and it's his life that makes the difference. And so he says, I pray that out of his glorious riches, he may strengthen you with power in your inner being through his Spirit. Is there anyone here today who needs to be strengthened with God's power in their inner being? And so, Father, I pray along with the Apostle Paul that out of your glorious riches, you may strengthen these dear brothers and sisters with power through your Holy Spirit in their inner being, in Jesus' name. And then it goes on to say, in order that Christ may dwell in our hearts through faith. Think about that for a moment. That Christ may dwell in our hearts through faith. He's praying for Christians. Surely the moment a person came to Christ, Christ came to dwell in their hearts through faith. So why is he praying this prayer for those who already have Christ in their lives? And without risking to over-translate this passage, what I believe this is saying is God, through his Spirit, wants to change us so our lives become more and more a place where God is pleased to dwell through his Son. That Christ would feel increasingly at home in our lives. Think about this. When I was a brand new Christian, it was shortly after I was a Christian, I met Maggie, my future wife. We courted for 5 years. We got married in the year 2000. And then we moved into our first home, which was a one-bedroom flat. We didn't have any children at the time. Our first child, Aaron, our little boy over there, 6'3" of him, he was born. And we set up a little nursery in part of our bedroom, and we changed the house as much as we could. And when we moved into the house, it was basic, and it didn't really fit our needs, but we redecorated it. And we bought furniture which would make it more ours. We wanted it to feel like ours. But here's the thing, when you've got only one bedroom and one public room and then one kitchen and one bathroom, when people come around to visit, you tend to throw all of the stuff that is a mess into the bedroom and close the door. Does anyone else do that? You take all of the stuff that you don't want people to see and you hide it away behind closed doors. Am I the only one? And so when people come around to our house now, that's our opportunity to clean the house. So come around to our house, because that's when we get the housework done. But what happens is we take the junk, we take the stuff, we take the books, we take the papers, we take the coats, and we hide them away because we don't want people to see them, and we close the door. And it's the same when Jesus comes into our lives. We want him to be really welcome. Oh, Lord, you're so welcome in my life. You're welcome. You're so welcome. Come on into the public room. Come into the living room, because we've tidied the living room. Come on in, Lord. You're welcome in the public. Let me get you a cup of coffee, Lord. You're so welcome. You're so welcome. Just don't go into that room, because that's where the junk is. That's where the coats are. That's where the paper is. That's where the rubbish is. Don't come into that. You're welcome, Lord. You're welcome in my house, but not in that room. And I feel like what the Apostle Paul is praying is he's saying, I pray that the Lord Jesus Christ will become increasingly welcome in every room of our house. That he would have access all areas by the power of his spirit to change us more and more into his likeness. Now listen, when I moved into the house, I wanted to redecorate it. When we invite Jesus into our lives, he wants to redecorate. He wants to put his stamp on it. And he wants us to be fully his. And so when, listen to this prayer again, for this reason I kneel before the Father, from whom every family in heaven on earth derives its name, and I pray that out of his glorious riches he may strengthen you with power through his Spirit in your inner being, so that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith. And so this morning it might be that you're at a place where you say, oh Lord, I'm scared to let you into that room. I'm scared to open the door and let you come in. I don't want you to see the mess and the disgrace and the shame that's in that room. I don't want you to see it, Lord. The thing is, he already knows. And the only way you're going to get free of that stuff is to invite him in. And he will be the one to clear out the shame and the filth and the mess and the disgust and all of the things you don't want people to see. He's the one that's going to clean out that room. And so this morning, the invitation is there for all of us, that by the power of his Holy Spirit, the Lord will become increasingly at home in our lives as we give him access all areas. And for some of you today, you're thinking, well, I've got my hand on the handle of that room. Dare I take my hand off? Dare I take my hand off? Do you trust the Lord enough to bring healing to your life in that area? And the prayer goes on, that you being rooted and established. Rooted is a agricultural metaphor. Established is like the foundations being laid. When you came to Christ, let me say this about you. You didn't love Christ first. He loved you first. While your back was still turned to Christ in rebellion and sin, Jesus died for you on the cross. You didn't chase him down with your love. He chased you down with his love. And when you surrendered to him, when you came to him and you gave your life to him, his love came into your life. The foundation of your walk with him is love. You can't do anything about that. He's not praying that foundation would be laid. He's saying the foundation is Christ's love. He loves you. He loves you. He wants your life to be rooted. You know, the bit above the ground is what we see of the tree, but the roots are where it's all happening. And he wants our lives, not the public us, not the bit that everyone gets to see when we go to the office or when we walk down the street, the mask that we wear, the pretense that we sometimes have. He doesn't care about that. What he cares about is what's happening under the soil. Where are we rooted? And he says, knowing that as a Christian you are rooted in God's love, or established, to change the metaphor, you know, if your life is like a building being built, that the strong foundations that it's being built on is God's love. It's his love being rooted and established in love, that you would have, here's that word again, power to grasp. Power to grasp. Not that you could possibly ever know this stuff. He goes on to say that you would know this love that surpasses knowledge. You can't know the vastness of God's love. You can't know it by looking at it and touching it and smelling it. But he's praying that you will have power to grasp it. And it's the Holy Spirit. It's by revelation. And so his prayer is that you would know the limitless dimensions of God's love. That it is wider than you would ever know. It's longer than you would ever know. It's higher than you would ever know. It's deeper than you would ever know. His love for you is so vast. It is so vast. You could never know the limitless proportions of his love. And yet, although you can't know it, he's asking you to dive in, to jump in, and to know this love that surpasses knowledge, so that you may be filled to the measure of all the fullness of God. It's by the Holy Spirit. It's him. It's his presence. It's his revelation. He helps us to grasp what the enormity of this love looks like. And then he goes on to say in verse 20, and this is where Apostle Paul lands this section, and he says, now, and this is a doxology, so this isn't a prayer, this is a proclamation. He says, now to him who is able to do immeasurably more. You can't measure the more. Immeasurably more than all we ask or imagine. Now listen, I want you to know that when I pray for you, I pray some big prayers. I pray pretty big prayers. This microphone's just gone, I think. Hello? Oh, it's still there. I pray some pretty big prayers. I pray some pretty big prayers for this church. I pray some pretty big prayers for this town. I've been praying some pretty big prayers for our government. But listen, God is able to do immeasurably more than I ask or even imagine. According to his, listen, there's that word again, power, that is at work where? In us. And so because of that, his glory is seen in the church and in Christ Jesus throughout all generations. This is a generational thing. Amen. And so here's the thing that I would like you to do this morning, is to say to the Lord, Lord, I feel weak and I try really hard in my own strength to live this life. And I just feel like I can't do it. I feel like I've tried really hard to be a good Christian, and Lord, I can't do it good. The Apostle Paul got to that point when he prayed to his father and said, Father, listen, there's this messenger from Satan, this thorn in the flesh, and it's chasing after me, and I want rid of it. Lord, please take it away. And he prayed three times, and what did the father say? He said, listen, my grace is sufficient for you because my power is made perfect in your weakness. And so the Apostle Paul then went on to say, so now I go about boasting about my weaknesses, because I know that when I am weak, he is strong. Because the power that we need to live the Christian life, it's not our own self-effort and it's not our own will. It's the Holy Spirit. It's him. It's his presence. Life in the Spirit is the key to the Christian life. And so this morning, it might be that you want to pray and ask the Lord to fill your life full of the presence and the power of the Holy Spirit, that he would strengthen you in your inner being with that power. It might also be this morning that you want to respond by saying, I know that there are parts of my life that I've just kept closed to God. There are parts of me that have been Christianized. They've come into the orbit of religion or Christianity, but this morning I want to surrender all to him. I want him to have all of me. I want to give him access all areas. There is that area of my life that no one else knows about. And this morning I want to surrender that part of my life to him and ask him to come in. And for him to set me free and for him to clean me up. I want to invite him into those parts of my life. And it might be this morning that you just need a revelation of the Father's love. And that you would grasp by the power of the Holy Spirit the vastness of his love for you. So come on up. I'd love to pray for you. Might not be able to pray for all of you, but come to the front and I would love to pray for you. And the rest of you, pray your blessing on the people who come and just begin to worship. Fill this room with praises to God. I wonder if the worship team, the prayer ministry team could come and join me at the front as well. That'd be great. Bishop, would you come as well, please?
Hi, everyone. I really feel strongly that Jesus wants to break a lie in someone's heart this morning. And that lie is that you are not worthy to come to him. That lie is you are not worthy to open those doors that you're keeping hidden. And Jesus says it is a lie. And it is in the name of Jesus that he is standing before you now. And he is going to break that lie because that is what it is. And through the power of what Jesus has done for you, he is calling you and he is saying, you are worthy. Come to me. I stand here with my hands out wide, waiting to take you into my arms, waiting to fill your heart, waiting to clear out that unworthiness, waiting to touch those areas in your life that have brought you to this place, those years of decision, those years of words which have been spoken over to you, which are not true, because they do not come from your Creator. They do not come from your Saviour. And so I say once again, in the power of the name of Jesus Christ, I break that lie. I say, spirit of unworthiness, go to where Jesus has bound you and has a place for you. For you have no place in the heart of any man or woman or child that belongs to God. And so claim that now for you. Open that door, step into his arms and receive the love and the healing that he has for you, for the glory and honor of our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen.